Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is now Monday and it's back to murky conditions here. Double-digit temperatures around the country and the pallor of grey that this month usually takes on rather than the snowy shocks of last week. It is the 13th of January 2025. I hope the thaw finds you well. It's back to school, I'd imagine, properly now today for some parts of the country. And you can correspond with us in the usual way, north and south on the WhatsApp, that's 087 032 32 32, on the text, that's 51551, and on email, oliver@rte.ie. Yeah, not a lot happening political-wise in Ireland across the weekend. The LA fires still remaining. They are the first big global story of the year, there's no doubt about it. And a busy weekend for many sporting matters, which we'll come to very shortly. But I want to tell you about our interesting guest this morning. Oran Finnegan is his name, and he's a former head of forensics for the International Committee of the Red Cross. And he's had this fascinating career as a humanitarian forensic specialist. And he helps, find loved ones and answers for families of people who've died in war torn countries and disasters. The Srebrenica massacre, he worked in there at one point, tragedies and killings in places like Cyprus. He was an advisor in Iraq. There was also airline disasters. And he's one of our returning emigrants, I suppose. He's the former head, but he's back now with his own business, and he's going to be involved in that huge operation that begins in the coming weeks. We don't know the exact date, the excavation or the exhumation of the remains of nearly 800 infants who were interred in the mass unmarked grave in Tuam near the former mother and baby home. So it's one of those stories where he's gone around the world to historic crimes and issues, and he's back giving us his expertise here. And he has his own fascinating story, a personal experience of what happens when a loved one disappears. And there are many Irish people who particularly left the country in the last century, and some of them came home and their siblings stayed behind, whether it's in Australia or in Britain or in America, and were never heard from again, and that often are tracked down later in life, and often when it's too late, when they pop up on public records and so on, having died, I suppose. All those kind of missing bits of Irish stories left around the country. So I'm looking forward to a conversation with Oran later on. oliver@rte.ie for your emails. So yes, in sport, it is still very much the sporting world has kind of burst to life. You had Leinster in rugby beating their old French foes, La Rochelle. That's the Roland Garros side that they've lost two of their three European final defeats to in the last couple of years. It's still the pool stages, mind you, but they'll be happy with that. Munster also won at home to the Saracens, so they'll be very happy down the south of the country. And Man United had a very raucous kind of victory over Arsenal on penalties in the FA Cup, but it is a lift for Man United in their historically bad Premier League season. So on that goes. We'll be watching, of course, Nottingham Forest and Liverpool in the Premier League action. They'll be back on Tuesday night, tomorrow night. And in the GAA, the club finals, the big club finals, there's football next weekend. So this weekend just gone was the day out for the junior and intermediate hurling club finals. And I was reading, St. Loctons of Kilkenny took the junior title. And one of the best named places or villages in the country with an English name, Water Grass Hill, always has a nice kind of feel to it. That's a Cork club. They took the intermediate title. But I was reading that the season to get to the All-Ireland final started on the 9th of March, 2024. Manager Eddie Enright said afterwards, this was their 150th collective session since then, between matches and training, I presume he means, and it all ended in Croke Park, as all Ireland should. So good business weekend for the clubs. So we'll be very happy then in Kilkenny and in Cork. And next Sunday is the All-Ireland football final, and the senior club one, that is, that's happening on Sunday between Coola, the richest club in the land, in the football final. Now, they've had their hurling titles to their name, much the same people. You've got the O'Callaghan brothers there dominating. And they're up against Errigal Kieran, which is the Tyrone club, featuring the Canavan brothers, not to be confused with the Kavanagh brothers, who are the reason Monaghan peoples are reluctant to support Tyrone. We might do when it's the sons of Peter Canavan. So that's Rory and Dara. Errigal Kieran next weekend. They won after extra time down at Dr. Croke's. Well, it was actually in Newbridge, the match, I believe. And that is the cold end of the club championship. I still do miss the St. Patrick's day finals. But look, it's happening now forever in January. There it is. Cool often feels like it's... Is that what happens if the Arab oil states start buying GA clubs? That's what goes on. And so that's the business. That's the business side of sport and so on. If you're anti-Trump, by the way, and fearful of the MAGA movement's power and popularity in America at the moment, well, you can always rely on internal fighting to bring the whole thing crashing down. And with a week to go to Inauguration Day, two of the biggest kind of Trump insiders are seemingly at war. Steve Bannon, he was the guy from the last, from the first Trump term. He was the former chief strategist, and Trump actually sacked him, but then he pardoned him in his final minutes of his first term, and he remains a Donald whisperer and is kind of like a MAGA evangelical figure in there. So he has declared battle against Elon Musk, who he has called truly evil guy and racist, pledging to take this guy down and remove him from the Make America Great Again. That's the MAGA movement. And this is an interview he gave to an Italian newspaper, and it's been published this weekend in America. And he's criticised Elon Musk's embrace of some forms of immigration, and he's vowed to ensure that Musk does not get top-level access to the White House. He's expected to get a job and be very close to the White House, if not in it, in terms of an office. He's a truly evil guy, a very bad guy, and I'm making my personal thing to take this guy down. What's his problem with him? So basically he's complaining that Steve Bannon has embraced the immigration visa that allows tech bros like himself, because Elon Musk is famously South African, and that's the visa he came into America on. He's now an American citizen himself, so he can stay there and he can vote. And all the rest of it, Steve Bannon is one of those MAGA supremos who are staunchly opposed to all forms of immigration, even if it's like just to come in and fill jobs, basically. It's kind of, that's the, like I said, the MAGA movement looks set to kind of tear themselves apart. And they have infiltrated the LA wildfire story and the political end of things, where disinformation and misinformation are coming from those Trump supporters claiming that there's not enough water. And it's because, well, it's because they have an intense loathing of places like California, because it's seen as the birthplace of what they would call woke politics. And anywhere that's progressive or left-leaning, like Chicago, where they constantly highlight the crime rate there compared to the places that vote Republicans. But there you go. It is true that they did cut the budget in the LA firefighters, I was reading, but they boosted it in other areas. So they announced a cut, but in their negotiations with the firefighters, they ended up paying them more, recruiting more people, and the cuts were more in HR and other places like that. So it's very hard to sort the fact from the fiction. Well, what is happening over there? The fires, the winds are picking up, unfortunately. There's the Santa Ana winds that have caused the spread of these fires, which I was reading have now burnt 38,000 acres. Put that in context, the Phoenix Park in Dublin, the biggest park in Europe, is 1,750 acres. So it's an area bigger than Dublin's kind of inner city metropolitan area, 38,000 acres. And they're just in a battle against time to stop it getting into the most populous regions, because the homes that have been burned tend to be in secluded areas and are very big. So you're kind of wondering, if you're one of the families are told, look, the fire is heading in your direction, you need to get out of your house, what do you grab in a hurry? Because you don't know if your house is going to be there or not when you return. So the CNN went around and asked families, what are they doing? And people who at the current time, a lot of them are in the Disney resorts and Universal theme park resorts. They're holed up in the hotels there, not knowing if their homes are safe or not. In various families, the teenagers tend to grab their clothes. And obviously the mammy of the house is grabbing the passports, all the important documents, and kind of insurance is a very important thing to bring with you as well, because if it's printed out and they don't know where to find it online or whatever. And the dads are kind of going for the material objects that they love the most. There's a vintage car, which is often taken, and they're irreplaceable. And sometimes the mammy takes the sentimental things. So in one case, a green leather watch case that belonged to someone's now deceased father. Pets are obviously number one before all of this list. So it's kind of interesting. You're kind of wondering, what would you take? Hard drives containing the family photographs, because it used to be boxes of photographs. Now it's the hard drives where they're stored. This is, you know, the home of Silicon Valley and all of that up the north end of California, but it is California nonetheless. They're the things you're taking, and it's kind of extraordinary to think, you know, you'll be happy your family are safe because you're being evacuated for your own safety, but also wondering, what do you take? What do you take out of the house? There must be treasures hanging on walls, and you don't have a lot because you've only got your car to go with you. What would you take? And as we're tracking the fires, the main tragedy, of course, is 24 people have died. That they believe that death toll is going to be revised upwards in the coming days. 110 kilometre an hour winds are on their way. That's the great fear, and set to last until Wednesday. So obviously the main reason people are focusing on this, and the main reason it's probably got more attention than other natural disasters around the world, is because it is home to so many millionaires and billionaires and movie stars. And shows that are in production in Hollywood have had to halt filming. And the big question is over what the shows are kind of done and ready. Is it morally, is it ethically sound to go ahead? Well, Meghan Markle has delayed the release of her new Netflix cooking and entertainment show With Love, Meghan, considering it probably wasn't the right time to watch Meghan harvest honey or local fruits from her Californian garden. And that show was due to go out this Wednesday. She requested the delay from Netflix and she's very happy about it. It is filmed in a town not far from LA, Montecito, where they live. She filmed it down the road from her house, not in her own house, much to the annoyance of the British media. The trailer, which is only less than 2 minutes long, has already provided a lot of rage bait headlines in the British press from the usual places. But some people have decided to just plough on with their releases. Pamela Anderson said, "The Last Showgirl opens in theatres today. I'm extremely conscious of our beloved community affected by the fires, but I'm also very proud of our film and art. In hopes that art never ends, it uplifts and inspires." So The Last Showgirl was released. They have to release them in kind of small theatres to qualify for the Oscars and so on, but they give it the wider mainstream release over the weekend. And she is in competition election mode for award season. She's been nominated in the Screen Actors Guild, so there is a chance for her at the Oscars. And voting on Oscars was delayed as a mark of respect. And that now closes tomorrow. So if your film is not out in cinemas and being talked about, there'll be a lower chance of the nomination. So that's what they're all kind of battling with at the moment. Already someone is texting, the thing they would take with them is my wallet and passport. Yeah, you'd be looking for the passport. Wonder where is that on the wall? But you've got kids and they'll have different priorities. And older people as well in the house and so on. And obviously the pets have to go out and you'll need food for them for the next while because you don't know how long you're going to be gone. Now, a story of no importance whatsoever has caught our eye. And it is Cherry Tomato Bridge, which is Dublin's hottest new tourist attraction, except it doesn't really exist. Somebody spilled or left or littered cherry tomatoes on a bridge in Dublin, in Drumcondra, heading into Dorset Street. It's the kind of the places where the Drumcondra Road and Dorset Street kind of collide and match and turn into each other in Dublin. Cherry tomatoes, and they froze on the bridge and they stayed for a week. And people on the way to work started photographing and said, "This is funny. Cherry tomatoes are there. Seagulls don't seem to be interested." And now they've lasted a whole week. And so people have brought their own cherry tomatoes. And someone has actually renamed Binns Bridge on Drumcondra Road Lower as Cherry Tomato Bridge. And it has now 36 reviews and people leaving very tongue-in-cheek reviews saying there's no one on earth like it. A truly special place. You can just feel the magic. Another person says, "Sometimes there are cultural experiences that stop us in our tracks, leaving us breathless. This is one of them. I couldn't recommend it more." And so TikTokers are now visiting a random bridge in Drumcondra and calling it Cherry Tomato Bridge. And it is heading towards Dublin's Trevi Fountain, basically. How did it all start? So a couple of people posting here and there and saying, you know, leaving signs like this is, this place is ripe. Basically, all the kind of tomato puns are up and running. John Binns will be very upset about it. He is the principal supporter of the Royal Canal, for whom the bridge was named in 1795. And there are actually two bridges. Binn Bridge kind of meets. So Binn Bridge covers the railway tracks, and Frank Flood Bridge, which is all in the same patch, covers the Royal Canal. So there you go. So you have to go and get yourself down to Cherry Tomato Bridge in Drumcondra / not really. We also discovered someone is throwing tea bags onto a random roundabout in Mullingar for possibly a year or more. And as a result, people are starting to call that maybe tea bag roundabout, sort of. Not really. Okay, this is a story now that will really get you het up. We know for a fact because it is a bugbear of a lot of people. Dog waste, dog fouling that goes unpunished around the country, in the urban areas especially, and the rural towns and so on. The story of the weekend, the Irish Independent, they went digging and discovered that there were only 37 fines issued last year for dog waste left behind in parks and streets and so on. Nationwide, 37 fines. In Dublin City, the number was zero. As though there's no dog fouling at all in Ireland. So local authorities describe it as an offence. It's very difficult to police. There are technically on-the-spot fines, but it is not really being policed at all. In fact, the rule is Dog fouling and dog littering is illegal in Ireland. If your dog poos in a public place, you must remove it and dispose of it in a proper and clean way. If you don't pick it up, it's €150 on-the-spot fine, which almost doesn't exist. All of the fines they tracked down from various council to council involved a witness who identified the person who's left their dog's poo behind. They have to have evidence that they record or photograph it and then go to court to testify that they've seen that person, which doesn't sound like an Irish thing that would ever happen at all. Anyway, there's a writer with the Irish Independent, Katie Harrington, down in Cork, and she has been radicalised by this whole scenario. Katie Harrington, good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
How are you? Are you on your rage levels?
My rage level is actually very low this morning, but the minute we start talking about people not picking up their dog waste after them, it's gonna go sky high.
This is very important to your life because you have two dogs. What are they called?
I have one dog. She is my rescue lurcher, Nelly, and the love of my life. And then I'm actually minding my parents' dog. They have a rescue greyhound called Lara. So yeah, two big dogs who I walk twice a day and obviously do a lot of pooing. How do I put that nicely? I don't know how to say it, but yeah.
That's what dogs will
do. I pick up them. It's what dogs do. But yeah, I suppose walking kind of twice a day, you do become a little bit radicalized because there's a lot of dog owners that just leave the house with their dog poo bags, so never intend to pick them up, or just, you know, are on the phone while they're watching their dog take a crap on the path and just walk by. So I've started kind of becoming a bit of a vigilante about it.
Oh,
so,
good. Fair play. Somebody has to.
I mean, yeah, I take the law into my own hands, but I'm a peaceful vigilante. I'm not inciting rage here.
You pick up your dog's poo all the time and you bring your bags.
Meticulously. I mean, look, we really have to. I don't have kids myself, but like to me, like when you get a dog, this is part and parcel of it. You can't have a kid and say, I'm not going to change nappies. You know, it's ridiculous. So if you get a dog, this is part of being a responsible dog owner. It's also really disgusting. I don't know. I kind of like set myself a little challenge in like Cork, Kerry, Dublin, Brime all the time. Like how far can you get on one of our streets or beaches without seeing dog poo that's been left? So it's kind of amusing and the piece is a little bit tongue in cheek, but actually it's really serious. It's disgusting. Yeah. I spoke to a wheelchair user for the piece. He said this is like a constant bugbear of theirs that they're, you know, going through dog poo and then traipsing it back into their house. The visually impaired are desperately affected by this issue. Parents who are pushing buggies around. A friend of mine in Drumcondra told me that during the pandemic it got so bad around where they are. People were circling in chalk the dog poo and writing messages to the owners. So there are other vigilantes out there. So yeah, I'm just trying to radicalise more people because we really have to do something about it. It's disgusting.
You actually go around picking it up yourself. This is other people's dog waste.
I do. I actually shamed a lady in our park. I think shame is actually a very good tactic for Irish people, but I'm quite passive aggressive. So I ran after one lady who was on the phone and I just said, look, your dog just went behind you. I have a bag if you'd like it, a spare bag. She me and said, I'm on the phone. So I went and made a big song and dance about picking up her dog's poo then and putting it in the bin. But she wasn't shamed. Her dog is lovely. She's not so great. But I do think we can, you know, I don't want to just have a moan about it because moaning does nothing. But I do really think there are things that we can do. First of all, dog owners have to take responsibility. Every time you leave the house, I stuff my pockets full of, every jacket I have is full of dog poop. You can get the things that go on your leads, the little dispensers. There's loads of things you can do. I see some people carry the kind of American style dog poopers with the scoop poo scoopers with them, you know.
Oh, what's that?
So there's loads of things, you know, the kind of the American style ones. So they don't want to obviously get down on their hands and knees and pick up the dog poo and put it in the bag.
Yeah.
So they have like kind of the pooper scooper with them. I mean, it's a bit arduous to carry one around, but I do also think like there's a really good, some smart entrepreneur who's listening can invent a great thing that's going to make the millions.
Yeah,
that is
exactly.
Makes it easy. But you know, gloves in your pocket, whatever your tactic is. You just got to pick it up. There's no excuses. You know, you can't leave it there because it's really mounting up and it's vile.
I mean, it's incredible. I'm reading your article this morning, the 2024 survey by Vision Ireland. A third of visually impaired respondents had been personally affected by dog waste in public spaces and it made their lives a misery. So, I mean, for them alone, I presume are most people picking it up and this is the few that are ruining it all for everyone else?
Yeah, I spoke to a man in my local park in Cork yesterday and he said, what are you doing? Because I was getting my picture taken for the piece. And I said, and also Cork people are nosy. And I said to him, I'm writing about dog poo. It's amazing how exacerbated he got. He said, look, I think it gives all dog owners a bad name, the ones who don't pick up after them. So I think we need to, it's kind of a multi-pronged approach to like fixing this problem. First of all, I think dog owners themselves need to be better. We need to call out other dog owners who don't. And if anyone's listening who has a dog who doesn't pick up after them, you've got to do it. It's so selfish to leave it on the street for other people to look after. So every time you walk your dog, you've got to pick up after them. I don't care if they're off the lead, if they go in the weeds, you just got to do it. It's got to be kind of like a zero tolerance, no excuses thing, because clearly, as you said, our colleagues in the newsroom and the Independent did that investigation. The fines are not working. Well, they're not being issued out and they're not working. But I also think, you know, if you in your local park, if there's not a good bin, if there's not a dispenser for dog poo bags that I see now some places in Kerry have spotted that they actually provide the bags for you. If you're not happy with the solutions, you know, call your local council, call your local TD, whoever you voted for the last election, you know, tell them that this is something that they need to have on their radar, because, you know, there's only so much you can do as an owner. We need to have practical solutions and bins as well. You know, let's make life easier for dog owners, because a quarter of people in Ireland have a dog at the moment. That's a lot of dogs walking out every day. Like that's a lot of dogs going to the toilet.
Of all the households in Ireland have a dog. I find it very strong. But those figures probably have gone up since all those lockdowns and everything. We're getting lots of messages about this already. I counted 87 instances of dog feces in my local council. I contacted them afterwards and they thanked me for letting them know. That's in Fermanagh. Killiney wow. Hill in Dublin has lots of dog poo, and then school groups of kids come in for activities. That's as the point you're making, that it can cause illness. It's very dangerous as well. Dog fouling is a big problem in Dunleary Rathdown. The council should bring in DNA testing of the dog poo like other European countries. This has happened in France.
It has. So in France, they were a small picturesque town in France was so irritated by people doing this that they started swabbing the dog poop. And then if the dog is chipped, they can just send it. So it's not about an on-the-spot fine. They just send you the fine in the mail, like you get your penalty point if you were speeding, etc. So they've been trialing that this year to see if that will work as a good deterrent. I think Irish people are actually really conscientious, and we live in such a beautiful country. I think if we just... I would hope that it wouldn't come to fining. I hope people could just be a little bit more cocked on about like how disgusting it is, you know, to leave your dog's shit anywhere behind you and expect someone else to come and pick it up. Oh, I mean, I'll do it under duress, but really I think, you know, individual dog owners and then the councils being a bit more clued up. There's probably like really smart people listening to your show today that have brilliant ideas that could work. I'm not one of those people, but like, you know, I do think we just have to have a collective approach that we're going to try and tackle this, because it's disgusting. It's everywhere. Cities, beaches. And I mean, I think about, I don't have kids, like I said, kids playing on the beach and someone's like, let their dog go and then they've just kicked sand over it. That is disgusting. That's, and as you said, really a proper health thing. So I know I'm kind of like being tongue-in-cheek about it, but it is actually really disgusting
there
and a really serious issue.
There is also a ban on dogs on some beaches, which again is just not at all policed. Loads of messages coming in this. The street and footpaths of most towns are disgusting as a result. As a dog owner, we're responsible for our dogs. Be responsible to pick up after them. I notice over Christmas with dark mornings and the evenings, people don't pick it up because they feel they can get away with it at those times. We should all become poo police like yourself, Katie, within our towns. Not be afraid to do the right thing. That's from Helen. And actually, someone texting in from Dunleary Rathdown, your colleagues, you mentioned your colleagues did all the digging. There were zero fines in 2024. For a dog fouling. There was one in 2022 and one in 2023, and now it's down to zero. They're doing a little bit better in Fingal, where there were four fines. But I mean, it's an enormous issue. They're ludicrous figures for a whole year.
Yeah, I really like the term poo police. I didn't think that in my career I'd be forever associated with dog crap, but here we go. You know, but it just shows you, doesn't it, Oliver, that this affects everyone. Dog owners, anyone who walks, anyone who crosses the street in Ireland, it's something that really grinds people's gears. And the reaction that the piece is getting online in the Irish Independent proves that. So I think it's just like, it's something that we've got to tackle collectively. It's not the dog's fault, it's the owner's fault. And if people are leaving the house, you know, you wouldn't leave the house without the lead or without your coat or without your wallet. You've got to be putting the dog poo bags, or as I say, get that little roll thing that attaches to your lead so you can never forget them.
You know,
dog owners, I love walking my dog in the park. Dog owners like have this kind of camaraderie with each other.
They do, chat to each other.
You know, we do, you know, because we're dog lovers and that unites us. I think if we could unite on this and, as I say, a little bit of peaceful vigilantism, I think we could actually really turn things around, because it's vile and it can't go on the way it is.
We have texts from every corner of the country coming in, Katie. My favourite beach where I swim. Yeah. My favourite beach where I swim. Many people walk their dogs. Recently, people are leaving their dog poo bags in a bundle under the beach bylaw sign. Okay, they're leaving empty ones.
So we've got
sometimes
to talk
you
about
see
this.
Full ones leaving around.
Yeah.
That's from Pauline Beglin in Waterford. So that's the kind of leaving the empty ones to tell people what to do. Sunday's Well in Cork is covered with dog poo. I have two small kids. I have to wash the buggy every time we go for a walk. My 4-year-old was crying going into town the other day as her new boots got destroyed. Zero tolerance.
Oh, Oliver, Sunday's Well is very posh. I'm very surprised about that.
Salt Hill Promenade is disgraceful. Owners just let their dogs off the leash to foul the walkways. And on it goes. It is literally everywhere. Gravestones. Most dog owners pick up the dog's poop if someone is looking. But where do they dispose of it? How do those bags end up hanging in a tree or thrown into front gardens? That's in Greystones.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing we haven't talked about. The people who bag up there go to the effort of bagging it up. And then I think they're well-meaning. I think that they leave it on a stone or a rock or somewhere, meaning to take it on the way home and then forget it. And that is just as bad as leaving it. I mean, it's equally vile, isn't it? And I think people
go to the effort,
will be familiar.
That's extraordinary.
It's a familiar sight, isn't it? You know?
I saw someone leaving their dog poo on the beach in Barley Cove in West Cork. They look like the most perfect couple. I'm raging I didn't do something or tell them to cop on. That was on the Blue Flag Beach. How could they do it?
Shame those people. I mean, Cork is so beautiful. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but like we do live in a really picturesque place and it's so gross that it's being mired by dog poo.
Well, look, you have an army of people ready to join you and your dog poo.
There we go. Fellow vigilantes.
Poo police.
Unite.
/poo vigilante at the moment. Thank you so much, Katie Harrington. Happy walking.
Thanks, Oliver.